Yes, we like recording in progress.
Testing,
Testing,
testing, testing.
testing.
Hey,
welcome back.
Welcome back to G Plus 2 is Chicken. This is Courtney.
I'm Sarah. Did you see the eclipse? Did
yes.
your kids watch the eclipse?
Also, so cool. Did you see that
yes.
whole thing?
Yeah, my husband is like a worrier, kind of mm-hmm. catastrophizer. Like, that's what I call him. Like, he catastrophizes everything.
Yes.
I don't know if that's even a word, but that's what
no,
I say.
No, I'm with you.
So, yeah, he kept telling my children, who are teenagers, it's not like they're little. Don't take your glasses off. Don't take your glasses off. And at one point when it was totality, I took mine off.
Yeah,
I'm like, I want to see it. And he's like freaking out. And I'm like, it's fine. My retinas have not burned out of my eyes yet. I mean, you can't physically stare at the sun for too
right.
long if it's
right.
So
right.
I can still see.
It's yeah, fine. You're fine.
It's fine.
Speaking of seeing and not seeing, and my husband and your husband catastrophizing, I have to tell a funny story. So I don't know how many years it was ago. Josh and I went on a cruise, and we don't do well with seasickness. And
yeah.
so we both got a
sea You're
scapaline.
Prone to seasickness.
We're prone.
Yes.
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 So we both got this scapaline
yeah.
patch
yeah.
behind our ears.
Yeah.
And so... probably a few days into the cruise, I noticed like my eyesight, it's getting blurrier. And each day I'm like, Josh, like I can't, like I read a book and I can't see it as well. And I'm not freaking out because I'm like, what do you do?
Right.
I'm
right.
at sea.
Right.
You know, I'm getting a tan.
Yeah.
Having a drink.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to enjoy it before I go blind.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I have no, you know, problem with it for some reason. And meanwhile, and Josh is like, you know, you have to see the ship's doctor and da, 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 da. And they're like, I think you call and they're like, there's nothing we can do.
Right.
You know, just have her be
right.
seen
yeah.
when she gets
off the ship. Yeah.
So I swear he is like planning for my death every day. Like, he's thinking burial at sea. He's thinking complete blindness. He said he was thinking of, you know, how am I going to lead
Care
her around
her.
When she gets off the ship?
He's and probably making calls for your seeing eye dog.
Pretty,
yeah.
For yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
yeah.
hilarious. And
he
was like,
so
I don't know why you're not more concerned. And I was
yeah.
like, what do you want me to do?
Right.
But so anyway. We get home, take off the patches. Suddenly I can see. We still didn't put this together. Talked to the doctor and they said, yeah, it's like a 2% chance that that patch can, you know, it's one of the side effects. And if there's a 2% chance of anything going
of
wrong.
Of course
with any
it happens
medicine,
to you.
It happens
yes,
to me.
Of course.
And
yeah.
apparently though, if you touch it and you touch your eyes, then that. But I mean, again, little things that they should have told you, like,
yeah,
hey.
Would have been helpful.
Yeah, but anyway.
I'm amazed with anything, how little information they give you.
Right.
Like when you go to have a procedure,
right.
like anything, you find this stuff out after the fact and you're like, would have been good to know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so today our guest is, I mean, it's an amazing story. And she had to basically give up everything she knew in the United States. She didn't have to, but she chose to go to Poland and live covertly as a
communist Poland.
In a communist Poland.
Yeah.
So
behind
I was
the Iron Curtain.
Behind it.
Yes.
Did you
yes.
ever wonder as a kid, Iron Curtain, like,
was it a real
they were
curtain?
Like, was it wrinkled? For so many years, I was like, what the heck
is it like
with
the veil in the temple?
Right. What's the big deal? Somebody needs to go iron that stupid
go
thing.
Go iron the curtain.
Yeah, go iron
go
it.
Go iron it.
Such a stupid name.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But really, why didn't they iron? Why didn't,
what
wasn't
didn't
it a wall?
I don't know.
Just call it as you see it.
Well, there was a wall too, but.
Well, yeah. So I was thinking, like, what are the things we have now that we couldn't do without?
Oh, yeah. Like, that would be hard to live without. Well, like, this is a vanity answer. But the older I get, the less I can live without my Mary Kay skincare.
Yeah.
But the older I get, people are starting to say, well, you don't look like I, you know, I'll say I'm almost 50. Like, you don't look like you're almost 50. You and I'm like, Mary Kay, Mary Kay. I've been using it since I was 20. And it's, you know, it's good stuff.
And you've introduced me, and it is good stuff. Yes. Well, so I'm with you.
What are you, what's yours? What would you say yours is?
Well, I had a few, but I would agree.
I have some more too, but
you know. I would agree with the, you know, we're a couple years away from 50.
Yeah.
And the whole getting older thing. And one of mine would be a comfortable bed.
Oh.
Preferably like the mattress we have now that you can adjust.
Do you have
back.
Do you have sleep?
We do.
Yeah. Sleep number.
But
we have sleep number.
We've also slept on the foam or the, and those are great too. But
we
literally, you can't any, I mean, there was a time where you could sleep anywhere and you were fine. And then one day you go to some hotel and you are dying the next morning.
Yep. Sore and feel like you've been hit by a truck.
Yes.
I know. It's so true.
And I'm sorry, but it can't be effective.
Right.
If I'm in that much pain.
Exactly.
Right.
And not well rested.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So today's episode, though, is about Debbie Thompson, as you can read on the description to her podcast. But just in case.
But, and for those of you who may not know her.
Right.
You know, like,
oh, that's,
She's
a really fantastic woman.
Yep.
But her story is cool because
she has lots of cool stories.
Oh my gosh.
I love the way her book is set up.
Yes.
Because it's like just little stories. Like it's not chapters or so it's so easy to read.
It's not chapters. Right. Or like pages
one or two pages at a time. Words. It's just my speed.
It's just easy to read. Yeah. So she has a cool book you have to grab, and she's going to talk about her and her husband being called to go to a communist country and what it was like for them having to live a double life and the lessons that she learned. And we hope you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, we loved it. Oh, welcome, Debbie.
Yes, welcome. Thank you, ladies. I feel like we're old friends, although we have only walked a road briefly together.
Yes.
So thank you for letting me join your world.
Oh.
We're glad for you to be here.
It's a privilege to have you here today.
Absolutely. We have just loved reading Pulling Back the Iron Curtain.
It is
fascinating. And we are going to link this in our show notes. So if anybody listening would like to, you know, get a copy of it themselves, then they can do that. But we would just love for, go ahead.
I was going to say, talk about a book that you won't be able to put down.
Oh, yes.
You know, like it's just the stories.
Yes. They're all like kind of a collection of stories and just like short little stories. So they're really easy to read, but then it's like, okay, I can just read one more. I can read one more.
Happens?
Like, yes.
And you feel like you're there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
well,
so,
those
so
words,
good.
I feel like I don't deserve those words, but I relish the fact that God's using it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad that you, had the opportunity to experience all these things so that we can experience them through you. So maybe you could tell our listeners to kind of start like how you ended up in Poland. Like what was that?
Well, that's a great question and a great place to start. But it takes me back to being a little third grade girl. I grew up in an agrarian society, and I like to say I had a deep bench. I was surrounded by people who loved me and who valued church and what it meant. And so at an early age, without a lot of complication, I knew that I need Jesus as my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believed that He died on the cross to pay for my sins.
Yep.
And I was so relieved that I would go to heaven when I die.
Yeah.
And I, in that period of life, this country church that we grew up in, that I grew up in, had only one missions conference that I've ever known about. Mm. But in that missions conference, one night as I sat on the back row of this row of nine pews, I could still tell you nine on the right, nine on the left. But as I sat there and listened to this woman talk, I was just drawn into her story. She was a missionary in Africa.
Wow.
And I stood, when the service ended, I stood in line and waited to speak to her. And when my turn came, I looked up at her and I said, "Ma'am, I think that tonight you're speaking to me."
Mm.
And she said, "Honey, let it be known. Let it be known."
Wow.
Now, I want to tell you, I've never heard or seen from her since.
Huh.
I don't know her last name, but one day I will be able to tell her, "Thank you,
yes,
for telling your story and for giving me a vision for the world."
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would have to say, from that moment in time of meeting this beloved lady until finding myself in Poland was a very long road,
mm-hmm.
because I grew in my relationship with God in somewhat of a sphere of fear.
Mm.
I was so afraid that if I did release my life to God, he would ruin it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Professionally, relationally. But yet, I knew God and I knew Jesus and I read my Bible. I prayed at night and I was on a journey to heaven. But God, let me be in control here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Until I got to university. At Mississippi State University, I met a group of students who had they talked about Jesus like he was their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I joined their ranks. And our clarion call was, "Come help change the world." And shortly after that, I met and fell in love with the handsome blue-eyed SEC football player. And this cheerleader was swept off her feet.
Oh.
And Larry's proposal to me was, "Will you go with me in helping to reach the world for Christ?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, the dots connected.
Right.
God's work in my heart as a nine-year-old third
yep.
grader,
mm-hmm.
and then Larry's proposal and all that God had done in between to independently bring us to love him
mm-hmm.
before mm-hmm. we grew to love each other,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
brought about a vision for the world. I began to develop a love relationship with God, a relationship where I released control.
Mm-hmm.
Things began to change. The Bible became alive. His guidance in my life made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it came, again, another epiphany, so to speak, at the end of a retreat in which Josh McDowell was the speaker on our university campus. Mm-hmm. In these spiritually heady days,
mm-hmm.
if you've ever seen the movie Jesus Revolution,
mm-hmm.
we were living in all of that. And it
mm-hmm.
was really an electric time spiritually to be alive. And
yeah.
so on the college campus, we had this retreat. Josh had been a speaker. And Sunday afternoon, you know how retreats run. Sunday afternoon, I was by myself in the only place that someone knows to be alone on a college campus. And that was our dorm bathroom.
Mm.
And I got on my knees by myself and I just released my hands to the Lord, almost like one finger at a time,
mm.
and said, "Lord, no more games.
Mm-hmm.
I offer my life to you, anything, mm-hmm. anytime, anywhere."
Mm.
That was the best decision I ever could have made. It was as if my soul came home.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I saw myself in Poland.
Right.
Behind the Iron Curtain, no less.
It was just one step at a time.
Mm,
yeah.
So as Larry and I envisioned one day being a part of a missionary force, a missionary army, taking the gospel, because to whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have been given so much in this country.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as we heard about those who had not even heard,
mm-hmm.
we were stirred.
Mm.
And so we put ourselves in places with our organization. We mm. would place ourselves in situations to hear seminars,
mm-hmm.
to hear briefings, but no one knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
We were just accountable to each other, investigating.
Yep.
And unbeknowingly to our organization, in 1976, summer of 76, they came to us and asked us to take this unusual assignment
mm.
to go and live covertly behind the Iron Curtain.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, I mean, Larry and I, on our knees, said, if God has opened the door to go and live behind the Iron Curtain, how do we have the audacity to question to walk through that door?
Yeah.
And then I realized God's will is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't play games with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my will for you, but my will for them. No. His will is consistent.
Yes.
That good and perfect will is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's will for me was also God's will for my parents.
Wow.
God's will for me was also God's will for my daughter.
Right.
That's not complicated, is it? But he wants us to believe it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Then the other, I would have to say, dramatic reality that he brought because he knew we needed it was understanding that sweet spot, that the safest place on earth to be is in the very center of his will. And I had lived enough years playing games, negotiating with God. You know, I will drive this plane. You can be my co-pilot. And it's like God would say, I created the plane.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
So discovering that the safest place to be is in the center of his will, even if and when if it meant living behind the Iron Curtain in communist poles.
And so far away from your family. Yeah.
So you fast forward here. You eventually make it there. Mm-hmm. And I love just some of the stories of God ministering to you along the way. The soldier on the train that had his gun pointed. And you have a baby on the floor. And he stops and he, you know, I guess you said, puts the gun on his back and leans down and kisses your daughter and he didn't say anything, I think you said, or something like that. And it was just these sweet moments of God reminding you. And I just get chills.
I
love all of the little reassurances he gives you.
Yeah.
And he made it so clear, Courtney, he made it so clear that he was all about the goal, the focus, the vision. Mm-hmm. He wanted us to live claiming his work, participating in his work, helping to fulfill the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so committed to taking care of us.
Mm-hmm. You know, you write in one chapter about how, you know, the worst thing happened. Your daughter got strep throat. Well, you know, you don't just get medicine at the local pharmacy.
At the point of need, I just knew I had to turn to him. And whether it was for an antibiotic or whether it was for a mattress, you know, whatever we needed, we learned to turn to him and ask for it. It was really a time where God wanted to show us that he would show up. And the need for that antibiotic for the strep throat was dramatic because there was no liquid. And we sat in a communist waiting room waiting to see a kind doctor. And he, with a sad look on his face, said, I am very sorry. We do not have this in our economy. Now, mind you, if you went to these countries today, you would see a very different picture from what I'm describing. But there are listeners, I'm sure, who remember what the Cold War was like.
Yeah.
And people who were praying for people behind the Iron Curtain.
Mm-hmm.
So some of your listeners will for sure identify with the grimacing details that we were told.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really, I mean, this is what the doctor said. In the communist system, we don't have, in this country, we do not have liquid antibiotic, and we will have to send a nurse to your home, which we were living with a Polish family in an upstairs apartment. And the nurse will come twice a day and give your daughter a shot. Uh-huh. And I just, as my mother's heart couldn't bear that trauma. And, you know, Larry would come to the Lord, and Larry has always had a creative faith. And, you know, the man who, he got busy and went and researched where would there be medicine. And there was medicine in liquid form in the British Embassy in Warsaw. But that is quite a drive, and we didn't have a car. And he realized, okay, then that means I need to fly. And in those days, flights were quite a bit different than they are today. They were really reasonable, let me just say, cheap. And so he flew up and back to the British Embassy, got the just ampicillin, I think, brought it back, woke her up, this little baby who, you know, was asleep with this feverish sleep. We woke her up, and I was holding in my hand, we ripped the envelope open. He was administering the medicine, and I looked across the envelope, and it said, "On Her Majesty the Queen's Service." And I thought, God is treating our little girl like she is the queen of all the earth. Terms of taking care of her and meeting her needs. Again, God cared not just for me as, quote, a missionary. He cared for me as a mother.
You, you know, day to day, you are living this. And, you know, you had mentioned in your book about, you know, if someone was found out, you know, that could be pretty serious for them. You would probably just be, you know, told to go to your own, what is that called?
Exiled
to your own country. But for them,
thrown out.
For them, it could be very serious.
Exactly. Our Polish nationals, exactly. They were the saints. They were the brave ones. Never doubt it. We had the privilege to work with and among God's choicest people. Really special. And yes, their risk was far greater because it was illegal. What they were doing was illegal. It was an atheist government. Yes.
And you were under a careful watch. I mean, that wasn't just, you know, we're living in this society, but it was guards everywhere. It was checking everything. It was, where are you going? What are you doing? And
exactly. And we developed a 360 view of life. We were always looking and watching and listening. And even years after we left, there were, there was just this instinct that Larry would sit at a restaurant with his back to a corner so he could see the entire restaurant, because that was just the habit. You wanted to see who was there and who was listening to you. And it just became ingrained. And for years, it was a challenge to me to cross an international border in a car. My stomach would just get tight because of all those years when soldiers were at our car, checking our car, looking in the trunk, going through suitcases. So those habits have died slowly, I will have to say. They have. But in turn, we had a code of behavior, and everyone operated under it. People really honored what needed to be in place. I mean, those among us that worked together. And we honored how we operated and what we said and what we didn't and where we went and where we would not go. And if we, I can remember times of pulling the phone cord out of the plug to cut the person who had called in, to cut them off, because all our phone calls were listened to. It was just oftentimes primitive. You could hear the other person breathing.
Oh, my goodness.
But if people were calling us from outside the country and using inappropriate language about who we were and what we were doing, the only recourse that I had was to unplug the phone and cut them off. And so, because again, they were not supposed to call and say that they were coming to see us. They were just supposed to show up at the gate. So that they could not be followed. You know, in coming to our home.
That was brave too, you know, for your parents to come. And I just love how supportive they were, and that they, God protected them, because you don't even get a moment of letting up. You know, you have to be
on guard.
On guard.
And those with, we would never have been able to live undercover the way that we did had we had the computer age that we now live in. The border guards would have looked every time we crossed the border at a computer. And they would have known everything all at once. So it was really a window in time. And what we chose to tell our children, every Christian is a missionary. That God has called us to tell people about him all over the world. But in their minds, Daddy was a student in international foreign trade. And then that even transitioned into having a small business because as time went on, other people joined with us. And Polish people had to have reasons for employment. Mm-hmm. They had to be able to document their employment. Mm-hmm. They had to have a place of work, and they had to have papers that matched that. So someone had to orchestrate that if indeed you are training up laborers mm-hmm. to leave. And in all of that, everything was quiet, you mm-hmm. know, with our children not knowing we were a part of an international organization. Mm-hmm. And yet we knew that at the age of 12, we would like what we were considering the age of accountability, mm-hmm. Our daughter Ann Coleman, and then our son David, and then our sweet Grace, we would want them to know. Mm-hmm. That they had been a part of something mm-hmm. really, really special. Mm-hmm. So we would take them to a dinner and outside the country, of mm-hmm. course, when we were out, and share with them this story. And I remember one of the first comments was, oh, it's kind of like you're Christian spies.
That's kind of what you think. I know. I was thinking this, you know, it's kind of like that in a sense.
And then we and it was just like a roll call.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Mom. Best now friend, we've got to get out there.
Best friends of aunts and, I mean, people that in their hearts were like aunts and uncles and cousins that they were all just growing up with.
Yes.
And said, oh, so they're a part of this too.
That is really neat to see, you know, God's giving them the eyes and just in the perfect timing, you know, when they're meant to see and yeah. take some of that to heart, you know, he had prepared them and prepared you to share that with them.
All under his control mm-hmm. that he would ruin my life, mm-hmm. particularly that he would send me to Africa mm-hmm. as a missionary. Mm-hmm. The day came when I had the privilege to get off of a plane in Africa, and it was all I could do to not fall on my face in that jetway uh-huh. and say, God, I am so sorry. Mm-hmm. I so misunderstood you mm-hmm. and what it means to give you a life. You were right. I was wrong. Because, mm-hmm. Courtney, you can't outgive God.
Yeah.
You can't outgive God. Mm-hmm. And I tell my grandchildren, of which I have 7 precious ones, nothing is worth anything mm-hmm. unless everything is given to God. Mm-hmm. But when you give everything to God, you begin the great adventure mm-hmm. from which he created you. Mm. May I say, let's normalize evangelism. Mm-hmm. We need to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be done in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. I'm the first to say that. And with great sensitivity. Uh-huh. But the world is desperate for love.
Yes.
And we know the giver of love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My mantra now is living with eternal intentionality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want for myself, living with intimacy with Jesus, authenticity with others, mm-hmm. a passion for your calling, mm-hmm. and a purpose for your influence. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
And I invite you to my blog, which is where
yes.
we talk about these things.
And I will put that on
thank
our
you.
Page.
Okay.
So others
living
can...
with eternal intentionality.
Yeah. So beautiful.
Thank
how
you.
God designed the body.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here today with us and for continuing to share what God's done in your life and be so open to, I think even now, I would assume that you're still open to wherever, whenever, and telling others about it.
Well,
and,
thank you.
Well, that was awesome.
Yeah.
She is to be able to accept that call and to just go,
yeah.
despite what your family and friends are saying,
yeah.
to just know that you know that you know.
That's what you're supposed to be doing.
That's what yeah. you're supposed to be doing.
I loved that she said, the safest place to be is in God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, sometimes we forget that, like we go into like, you know, scary or maybe even unsafe situations. But if God's calling you to that, mm-hmm. like that is the safest place to be, even if it's not safe, you know, like
yeah.
in the world standard, like I just love that.
Yeah.
That's going to stick with me.
Like what I think we talked about. Yeah. We talked about that and that, well, if you don't go, yes, he can use somebody else, but you know, if nobody goes, if everybody said, right, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was cool, too. And just meeting her in person, she lives out, you know, the lessons she's learned.
Yeah.
And she, I would assume she'd be, she's a wonderful mentor to people. And, yeah, that was just, I mean, you look at her and you would never think.
No. Yeah. I mean, it is the most, like, kind of surreal. Like, it's almost hard to picture her,
yes.
you know, in communist Poland. Because
yes.
she's so, like, just so put together and
yes.
so, like, articulate. And she's, you know, so easy to be around, though, and just
yeah.
love meeting her. But, yeah, but it is, you know, it just shows, like, God can just use anybody because,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what we look like, where it seems like we would fit, you know, like,
yeah.
And he did. He used them in such mighty ways over there. So I think that's so cool.
And the story keeps going.
Her yeah.
children have their own experiences and
right.
all of that.
Right. Wouldn't that be fascinating to be
yeah.
raised?
I'd love to hear from their point of
I
view,
know.
Too.
Like I know.
What it was like.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting perspective.
Well, we are done here for today.
Another great show.
Another great show.
Yeah.
We
got two more coming out this season. So.
We do.
Yeah.
Two more episodes and then...
winding it down.
We have to wind it down. We actually have to parent again for the
yes,
summer.
Yes, the summer will be here before we know.
I know. And I don't think I'll be having many daiquiris and laying on a beach this summer.
No.
The boys are in sports camps and
yeah.
We are...
makes it hard. It makes it hard to get our tan and our... yeah, our beach
our
time.
Margaritas.
With the,
yeah, our margaritas.
Oh, my gosh.
Children. We have
I
to
know.
Parent. Oh, the burden. But like she said, if you don't do it, who else is?
Who's going to do it?
Right.
That's right.
Oh, we do live it.
Yeah.
All right. We will...
see you in a couple weeks.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.